Good afternoon. It's great to be with you this afternoon, and I bring you greetings from my IJM colleagues around the world, from Africa, from South Asia, Southeast Asia, and Latin and Central America, as well as Europe and North America. 800 Christian professionals who are part of the movement of seeking God's justice around the world. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to your precious word now, we pray that your Holy Spirit will give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. We pray that you'll give us discernment to sort the wheat from the chaff, and we'll take the wheat and apply it and grow fruit for the glory of your kingdom. In the Savior's name, amen. I want to say a sincere thanks to Hugh for his friendship over the last 5-6 years, for his Christian leadership in this church, but beyond that, he has a great respect for Anna, for her support, and all that you're doing through World Mission Sunday. It's wonderful to be part of a Christian community that is so holistic in its call to mission locally and globally. Because this is a reflection of the heart of God, that we need to love the things that Jesus loves, and God loves people. And I want to share with you something about the ministry of justice that IJM is really plowing a new furrow, afresh in this era. And our casework is split into these areas on the screen. So we're confronting the horrors where people's bodies are sold for profit through sexual exploitation and through forced labor, slavery. We're confronting an epidemic of violence against children, and the kind of newest form of that is online exploitation. Property grabbing in East Africa, where someone's husband will die and relatives may steal the property, which is against the law in those countries. Police abuse of power, where people are illegally charged on a false charge. And then in northern Thailand, on the Myanmar-Thai border, where people are stateless, who have a right to be Thai citizens. That's something of our casework. And IJM's investigators, lawyers, social workers, church and community mobilizers engage in partnerships. 95% of our staff are local Christian professionals. And Anna read this verse to you at the beginning of this service, and it's a verse that's very important to us in IJM. It reflects the Father's heart towards his world. And Isaiah chapter 1 is a chapter I'd really encourage you to look at during this week. Because the prophet is speaking to God's people and saying that he's not interested in your festivals. He's saying to the people of Israel, he's not interested in sacrifices until you do the things that matter to him. See, the people were praying and fasting, but he says in this verse, and let's read it together if you can see the screen. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. And when you do these things, Isaiah says, then I will honor your fasting and answer your prayers. A wonderful reflection of the heart of God. Psalm 41 says, blessed are those who have regard for the weak. And so we're inspired by God's love for people, and the call to love all people, to seek justice for the oppressed. And as we get into Exodus chapter 3, this is a special encounter for Moses. And Moses, who has this extraordinary background, he's born a Hebrew, and then he's raised a prince of Egypt. You may be familiar with the story. As he grows older, he sees an Egyptian soldier oppressing a Hebrew, and makes a fatal blunder by taking the life of the Egyptian soldier. And then his own people begin to criticize him. And he flees. He flees to Horeb. Horeb, which actually means a wasteland, a desolate place. And that's really where we encounter where Moses is a shepherd in this desert-like land, and suddenly God has an appointment with him. And this is really important because there might be blunders and bad decisions that we've made. And this verse really reminds us that God is on our side. He's the God of grace and forgiveness. And Jesus himself said that we're forgiven 70 times 7 to illustrate. And this is a reminder that God has new plans for Moses, that though he thought his life was finished, that he was going to be a shepherd in the Horeb for the rest of his life, that God's purposes were at work. And here was this bush that was aflame, and it captured his curiosity, so much so that he went over to it. And of course, this is the revelation that God was going to meet him through the angel of the Lord. It's a holy encounter, a divine encounter, where he takes his shoes off, he kneels and he listens and honors what God is going to do. And that God is preparing Moses for a renewed calling. And secondly, we see in the canvas of Scripture that God is a God who is just. And to be just is to do what is right. To do what is right is to be just. And for those scholars among you will know that the Hebrew and Greek words for righteousness and justice come from the same roots for salvation. And this reflects God's heart, God's nature. And so God is a God of justice. And then he calls us to act justly as his people, that our ethical behavior must match the faith that we're called into, and that Christ died to satisfy the justice of God. And so God is calling afresh his people across the world today to be agents of transformation. And the church is really good at doing mercy and compassion, to love people. But the challenge for us, it's so much more challenging to do justice. So IJM is actually confronting the intentions of evil people. And that's hard and it's dangerous. IJM's investigators have all the fun with the technology. They'll have cameras the size of my shirt button. And so Hugh did ask me to make a recording this morning of you here just to check out who wasn't here, because there's going to be trouble otherwise. And so we'll use the recording in the establishments that we go to, whether it's in the brothels or the brick kilns. Our investigators have to go with the cameras on, and it records the evidence of people who are in need. And the laws are on the books right across the world against slavery, human trafficking, violence. The issue is law enforcement. And there are 4 billion people, according to the United Nations, who are not protected by the shelter of a criminal justice system, which is pretty frightening. And in some places, and some of you will be aware of those, that sometimes you have to flee the police because they're not there to serve you. They're there to do the state's business against you. And so we really need God's people to pray into this. And verses 7 to 8 of Exodus chapter 3 reflects God's heart, that even through last night, he will have heard the cries of people in violence and slavery right across the world today. Let's read verse 7. Says, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. What a wonderful vision, a land of opportunity, a land of provision, a land of safety. There's a wonderful book, apart from Good News About Injustice, that actually Dr. Mark Labberton, who is president of the Fuller Seminary, who used to be a research assistant to Dr. Stott, called The Dangerous Act of Worship. about seeking justice. And I do commend that to you. And it is a dangerous act to get into justice. Most people, when a building is on fire, will run out of it. But there's a particular calling, and this isn't for everyone, but in IJM, we are those people who will run to the fire, will face the darkness, the evil oppressor, in order to protect the weak, the least, and the last. And it's quite challenging that there are more slaves today in our world. We thought we had sorted this one out in the Wilberforce era and the Clapham sect, but we now have more slaves than the whole of the evil of the transatlantic slave trade over 400 years. And so this is a new challenge for Christians. And I want to bring you a story from South Asia. Sarju is pictured here, our director, former director of Chennai, now leads our work across South Asia. And so we had got a tip-off that there was some people in forced labor. They were in a rock quarry. These folks have to work like 16, 18 hours a day in 40 degrees Celsius heat. It's brutal, it's violent, the women are assaulted, the children, once they reach like 4 or 5, have to work away in these situations. And Tiligitha was the person that our investigators had got in contact with. And this quarry was a super large quarry where we couldn't find some of the slaves. And when we go with the police, we have like a 20 to 30 minute window to achieve the operation, because the owner will get on his phone and phone up a mob, and then there can be some very dangerous scenes that follow. And so this is why prayer is so important. It's the first and crucial thing that we ask of God's people, to pray, because this is a battle of spiritual forces. And if I show you the next picture, here's a picture on the left of Tiligitha and his relative, and their faces are gaunt from the hard work and malnourishment. But if you get a closer look at their eyes, they're empty. They're lost because of just the sheer brutal violence that goes on. Or to tell another story, if I take you to Southeast Asia, to the country of Cambodia, and introduce you to Mien. Mien, who was 13 years of age, and she was trafficked into a brothel. And she was sold to the highest bidder, who was a Western tourist, who paid $300 to abuse her. She was locked in a dormitory. And this is the case for thousands of girls across different regions of our world. Couldn't go outside because she would escape. And she had to service between 7 and 25 customers every day. The horror of such evil. And so this is the slavery that God is calling his church to re-engage with. So thirdly, God's promise to Moses as he goes into back to Egypt to rescue his people, the Israelites. The great battle of doing God's will, the fear of facing evil and violence. And this was the question that Moses had. In verse 11, he says, "Who am I that I should go and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He didn't have the confidence to believe that God could use him, because remember, he'd failed before. I'm one of 6 children. I'm 4th in line to the throne, and I have 23 nieces and nephews aged from about 27 down to 2. And if any of them were ever in any exploitative situation, you know what I would do? I would go to the ends of the earth to rescue them. And you would do exactly the same, wouldn't you, for anyone you care for? Then imagine how our Heavenly Father feels about his creation. Imagine how he feels about the millions, the thousands of children who are exploited. 2 million children globally are forced into the sex trade. And we see here that God actually does not answer the question in verse 12. I'll come to it in a second. He actually ignores the question. And this is my biblical case for something that's called selective hearing syndrome, When I was growing up, I'd ask things of my parents, and it would go in one ear and straight out the other. They would not pay attention to me, and I could never work this out. But since becoming a parent myself with two teenage sons, I've developed the art of selective hearing syndrome when they ask me for things that aren't necessarily important. And we've got it here. My biblical case is in verse 12. God ignores the question to Moses, who am I? But actually, importantly, he gives a promise. I will be with you. What a wonderful promise as the people of God. And of course, the risen Lord Jesus Christ gave the promise to all his followers. Lo, I'm with you till the end of the age. And that's a promise that we take away today, that he's with us tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the office, in the university, in the neighborhood. He goes before us and beside us. We're not left bereft. The Spirit of Christ is with us. And he calls us to step forward. And there are things that we do need to be deaf to. The evil one wants to whisper into our ears. How are you going to rescue 36 million? How are you going to overcome the plethora and the wall of violence against children that's occurring across the world? You can't do anything. You church are small. You're feeble. We need to be deaf to the evil one, and we need to hear the promises of Christ. Lo, I am with you. I will go before you. And we're called to demonstrate the renewal and transformation that the Apostle Paul talks about in Colossians 1, verse 20, about the renewal of the whole cosmos are the purposes of Christ Jesus. So Moses is scared, and I would be scared. And IJM investigators and staff, we get scared, but we trust and we lean into Christ. We pray every day in our offices, 1 hour every day in all of our offices interceding for this work. And we see God do miracles. And the psalmists talk about the emotions and reflect the heartbeat of God. Let's read together from Psalm 10, verses 14 and 17. But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them. Listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed. And then the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to the people and it reminds us who we are in him. Let's read this together. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And the church is God's plan A. Friends, there is not a plan B. We are God's plan. So you can look around you now and realize we are part of the rescue of Christ to the world, the evangelistic mission, the compassionate mission, the justice mission. This is what the church of Christ is called to, and there is no plan B. One of my favorite heroes was a Scots missionary, Dr. David Livingstone, who was a missionary to East Africa. And he has this turn of phrase that means a lot to some of us, that I am invincible in the will of God. As he took amazing calculated risks and daring feats for the gospel, we know that the chief end of humanity is to do the will of God. That's the desire for you and me, is to do what God's called us to do. And we're invincible whether we live or die in that will. And it's really important. So I told you about Saju and that rescue. I'm pleased to tell you that three families were rescued that day. And here's some pictures of these children, these parents. And remember the faces I showed you, the gaunt, the empty faces. And these people are holding up their release certificates, these legal documents that say they are free from their bonded debt, which was illegal in the first place. And it's an amazing to see how God works in their lives, transforming them, giving them a hope and the future. But I also talked about Mien. Mien, who was trafficked into that brothel. And it took us 2 years to find police officers that we could trust. And this operation, rescue operation, took place. And we found 37 girls. But we could not find Mien. The slave master had said to us, you cannot trust the police. So she hid from us. But as a people of Christ who pray, we prayed that God would show up again. Where is she? And it was 2 years later, hundreds of miles away, that we found her. And this picture on the left is the day she was rescued. And she went to aftercare for medical, psychological, and spiritual care, and trained as a seamstress part-time. So she's also one of my heroes, because she volunteers half her time with newly rescued girls from trafficking. She has become a committed Christian of her own free will. But why is she my hero? Because she actually returned to the very first establishment where she was assaulted repeatedly. And here's part of the grand vision of God's redemptive purposes. It's not just about redeeming our lives. It is the whole cosmos. And so the very establishment she was repeatedly assaulted was taken over by a Christian ministry called Agape. The rooms, everything was completely gutted. And I went there a couple of years ago. And on the top floor were 50 preschool children jumping up and down, which was wonderful. The minister's office was on the first floor, and then on the ground floor were all these grandparents with their grandchildren having medical inoculations and care. And then I walked around the corner to this mini factory, and there was Mien and other young women now who were making their textiles to earn a living. And opposite this building was the Lord's Gym. So who belongs to the Lord's Gym here? And it was owned by a Cambodian kickboxing champion who is a committed Christian. And so I kept my distance. And all these young men were pumping iron, stretching their legs as part of his ministry to that community. And to this day, all of those establishments of evil have been shut down. God was redeeming this location, this part of Phnom Penh in Cambodia. In God's wisdom, as we begin to conclude, he's given us so many verses about doing justice. Let's read the prophet Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Let's read it together. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And here in the scriptures, we've got a courtroom scene. Micah is like the prosecuting counsel of God to his people, saying, again, it's about their ethical behavior, their ethics not matching their doctrine, their faith. And God wants to see the two come together. And I just love the challenge that we have here, three things. And our Savior has said a very similar thing. Let's read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23 and verse 23. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without reflecting the former. Three things. It begins with discipleship, walking humbly with your God, that transforms our hearts to have compassion and mercy that leads us to do justice and righteousness in society. And so fourthly and finally, in this passage of Exodus chapter 3, Moses is asking the question, well, how will we rescue the Hebrew slaves and how will it be known? And God points back to worship of God. And it really culminates in all of that. And that happens. It happens a long way down the track for Moses with the years of the desert wanderings. And God is saying to Moses that you may not have all the answers of how it's going to work out. We in IJM or the Christian church don't know how it's all going to pan out in terms of changing society. But what God promises us, he promises himself completely to us. Lo, I am with you as we go in Christ's name. You will have all of me. I will be with you. And I call you by name. And no matter what you may face, I will be there with you, strengthening you. And that's why prayers are so important for the mission partners of this Christian community. It's the game changer. It gives people strength in times of trial and hope for the future. Jesus is our good shepherd. He leads us in paths of righteousness, and justice is one of those paths. I want to finish by just referring to something that's in your notice pack that you can do practically today. The United Nations is developing the new Millennium Development Goals. They're now going to be called the Sustainable Development Goals. And we've managed to include Goal 16 for the first time ever, includes rule of law, law enforcement. And this is a card to Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General, because we want that goal retained in the 2015 goals that will be decided upon by June this year. And there may be some nations that want to kick it out because they don't want to be accountable to others. So this is a very practical thing. If you want to complete it, please do so and leave in the... There are some boxes, I think, on the outside there. But a practical thing that you can do. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you sent your one and only Son to rescue us from sin and death and evil. Lord, you're a great God, and your heart of compassion and your righteousness is before us this morning. And we pray as your followers today that, Lord, for those who do not know you yet, that, Lord, they would discover the freedom that comes through the cross and through the empty tomb of Jesus, that we are saved from spiritual sin. But, Lord, you also call us for those who are in physical slavery today. We pray, O God, that you will mobilize your global church, that you'll equip us to be agents of light and change. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus. Amen.